Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Gamer Girl podcast. I'm Liz, the Healthy Gamer Girl, and this is episode 19. And I am tentatively calling this, Just Eat the Bacon, or Don't. So as a disclaimer, I'm not a doctor, and this podcast is not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, or to be mistaken for medical advice. So please always consult with your physician before beginning any new diet or health regimen. So I am sure that by now you have heard that the World Health Organization recently classified meat and cured meats in particular as carcinogens, and that bacon has now been classed in the same category cancer-wise as tobacco. And if you're like me, your response to that was, well, crap. Now, since this news is troubling to a lot of people who enjoy eating bacon and do not enjoy the idea of getting cancer, I thought that I would clarify some of the finer points of this announcement, so at the very least, you can have something to tell your vegan friends when they tell you you're giving yourself cancer over brunch. You know, like normal brunch topics. Now, let's look at these findings really quickly. The World Health Organization has a subgroup called the International Agency for Research on Cancer. Now, this group is currently comprised of 22 members from 10 different countries in the world, and has been around for 50 years, give or take. What they do is look at research from around the world to see if the evidence is strong enough to classify a certain compound as carcinogenic or probably not. Now, the IARC has 5 different numerical classifications for how carcinogenic something is, and it's 1 through 4. So there's 1, which is carcinogenic, 2A, which is probably carcinogenic, 2B, which is possibly carcinogenic, 3, meaning something is not classifiable, and 4, which is the weakest rating, meaning something is probably not carcinogenic. It's not overwhelmingly positive, but whatever. So the IARC comes to these conclusions by looking at various studies, like we talked about. And for this particular announcement, they looked at over 800 studies on cancer in humans, over 700 epidemiological studies on meat consumption, and over 400 epidemiological studies on processed meat. Now, in these 2,000 studies, they noted that eating around 2 ounces, or 50 grams, of processed meat a day increased people's chance of getting colorectal cancer by 18%. And therefore, processed meat, was given a rating of 1, which, if you remember, is carcinogenic. Now, with red meat in general, the studies again focused on colorectal cancer, but they also noted associations between pancreatic cancer and prostate cancer. However, red meat in general only garnered a 2A rating, which is probably carcinogenic. And when asked to quantify the risk of eating red meat and getting cancer, the World Health Organization issued the following statement. The cancer risk related to the consumption of red meat is more difficult to estimate because the evidence that red meat causes cancer is not as strong. However, if the association of red meat and colorectal cancer were proven to be causal, data from the same studies suggest that the risk of colorectal cancer could increase by 17% for every 100-gram portion of red meat eaten daily. So, as a reminder, 100 grams is about 4 ounces, or a quarter pound. So for about the same increase in colorectal cancer, you have to eat 4 ounces of red meat daily and 2 ounces or 2 ounces of processed meat. If you eat both of them, I wonder what that would mean. So you might be thinking, oh, wow, that's kind of a lot. Like 17%, 18%, those are big increases. Like, what does this mean for me? What it doesn't mean is that your risk of getting colorectal cancer goes from 0 to 18% overnight just by eating bacon or whatever processed meat. That's not how it works. It's your lifetime risk that will increase by 17 or 18%. And what is your lifetime risk? So according to cancer.org, the lifetime risk of developing colorectal cancer is about 5%. Give or take. It's a little lower for women, it's a little lower for some groups, a little higher for others, but it hovers around 5%. So this increases by 17% for every 50-gram portion of processed meat you eat per day. So if you average 2 ounces of deli meat daily, your risk goes from 5% to 6% over your lifetime. Now, with red meat, if you remember, it was 4 ounces daily to get from that 5% to 6%. And you might be thinking that you eat way more processed meat than 2 ounces per day, because I know that when I have a hot dog, it's not just, it's at least 2 hot dogs are being consumed. Bacon, maybe less, but still. And that's very true, but it's more taking into account what you eat daily. So unless you're some newly minted paleo eater or zero carber, you're probably not eating that much bacon. You might be eating 4 ounces of processed meat at a time, or even 6 ounces, but you're not doing that every day. Maybe that's every 4 days. So you just have to think about your average. Now, with red meat in general, that 4 ounces per day is a far more realistic figure. So I can see people being a little bit worried about that. Now, to address that type of fear, I guess you could say, we can talk about what is at play here when we're talking about meat causing cancer. And it's 2 things, really, and one is heme iron and the other is N-nitroso compounds. Now, heme iron is the type of dietary iron that's found in meat. And as you know, iron is actually a nutrient that we need to function. Like, people have iron deficiencies, it makes them very tired. So you need iron. But the thing about heme iron, which is the type of iron found in meat and not in like spinach, is that it oxidizes pretty quickly. And just think about how fast iron oxidizes when it's like a chain link fence or whatever, like a chain. It's probably not a chain link fence. But when it's like an iron thing outside in the weather, it oxidizes quickly. It rusts quickly. And that's what happens to iron in your body. So that could be part of why women have a decreased risk is because they lose iron every month. Maybe there's a connection there. Who knows? So that oxidation combines with one other thing, which is that heme iron is a catalyst in the formation of N-nitroso compounds. Now, I mentioned them earlier, and what N-nitroso compounds are carcinogens, essentially. Like, that is what meat breaks down to. down into that causes cancer. And there are other suspected carcinogenic compounds as well that are created from cooking meat, including polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, heterocyclic aromatic amines, and other chemicals such as polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, which are actually found in other foods but in air pollution as well. But for right now, we're just going to focus on those N-nitroso compounds. Now, they are created endogenously, which means inside your body, when you digest meat. This is made doubly powerful by eating processed meat, which is cured with nitrates and nitrates, which also both break down into N-nitroso compounds during digestion. So it's these N-nitroso compounds, really, that cause a problem. And since heme iron is a catalyst in their formation, and since heme iron oxidizes so quickly, that is a problem as well. Now, it's important to remember that one of the issues is oxidation, because we're going to talk about how to mitigate that in just a moment. But something else to keep in mind about these studies is that the data is based on epidemiological studies as far as meat consumption goes. And what epidemiological studies are is kind of like general survey studies of a population. They're not controlled. They're not done in a lab. It's more of a free-for-all. So these are kind of studies asking people to remember what they've eaten over a period of time, which could be a week or it could be a year. These are also the type of studies that just ask general questions like, how often do you eat red meat? What is the average serving size of red meat when you eat red meat? Now, I track my food pretty carefully, and I'm not sure that even I'd be able to remember stuff like this if prompted over a 6-month period of time. How often do I eat red meat? Who knows? Like, I don't know. And I'm pretty good about tracking that. So I figure that the average Joe isn't really going to remember either. Another thing to keep in mind is that there are a few things that epidemiological studies don't take into account. And for starters, that's cooking methods. Now, it's been noted that overcooking meat, or charring it, creates more carcinogenic compounds than cooking it slowly. Or just cooking it regularly, I guess. And that cooking meat at high temperatures in general increases carcinogens. So frying, grilling, accidentally dropping your hot dog in a campfire is delicious, but also causes cancer at a much higher rate. It creates more of those carcinogenic compounds we just talked about. This study also doesn't take into account preparation methods for meat. Now, preparation methods just means like how you prepare the meat to be cooked. So marinating, for example. And there have actually been studies done where scientists marinated meat in beer and wine and even just plain vinegar for 4 to 6 hours before cooking. And just doing that, like simply marinating meat in either beer, wine, or vinegar, demonstrated the ability to lower carcinogens that are released while cooking by up to 90%. And that's huge. That's just marinating with vinegar or beer or wine. And they found that the darker the wine or beer, the more carcinogens were inhibited. And the theory behind that was that it was possibly the yeast contributing in these fermented liquids that helps to neutralize these carcinogens. Now, another preparation is adding herbs and spices, like rubs, to meat. And this has actually also demonstrated a similar effect. However, traditional sugary barbecue sauces actually increased the carcinogenic compounds released. So I guess the suggestion there would be to make your own marinade with less sugar and more spices, or beer. So that's actually pretty cool. And in the show notes, I'll link to a study, not only the study, but also to an article talking about what you can rub on your meat or, yikes, what you can, rub on your meat. That's really the only way to say that. Or what you can marinate your meat in before you cook it in order to eliminate some of these carcinogens. And what I love about this is that it's so simple and actually adds to the meat's flavor to do this, but it makes the food so much healthier. There's also a few suggestions for what you can like put in a burger to make it even healthier. Now, another thing that this study didn't take into account is the quality of the meat. So it doesn't talk about organic versus conventional, or grass-fed versus corn-fed, or natural nitrates used in curing versus artificial. It doesn't talk about pesticides or antibiotics. It's just discussing meat in general as this like abstract concept, which is fine and everything for these general studies, but it just needs to be noted that this is what's occurring. Other things that weren't taken into account were lifestyle, like whether people exercised, their diet in general. So like, are you eating a ton of vegetables? Are you just eating processed meat and processed breads? Their environment, like environmental toxins that exist. The study only took into account red meat consumption. So what's the takeaway from all of this? Basically, you don't have to stop eating red meat. Don't be rash. That's crazy. It's crazy talk to just say, nope, no more red meat. But you can eliminate your cancer risk, not eliminate, you can reduce your cancer risk by following some of these kind of guidelines that we briefly talked about. So part of it is cooking your meat at lower temperatures, basically avoiding grilling and frying it all the time. And maybe marinating it in wine or in a dark beer, which is going to make it tastier anyway. It also actually softens up the meat and helps to start digesting things, so it's easier on your body. Like, these are all ways of preparing meat that actually help you. Same with spices. Like, have you ever wondered why so many cultures use spices? It could just be one of these things that we figured out along the way, that adding spices not only makes it taste better, but also increases digestibility. It's pretty great. Another thing that we didn't really talk about before is consuming foods along with meat that can contain protective compounds to help mitigate the oxidative damage. So we talked about how heme iron oxidizes quickly and can cause free radical damage, and what quenches that is eating all these antioxidants. Now, foods that are high in antioxidants are cruciferous vegetables, so that's broccoli, cauliflower, kale. Veggies in general are high in antioxidants. Wine and dark beers have a high antioxidant count as well, so not only do you want to marinate that steak in wine, but maybe you want to have a glass of it too when you're eating. And then espresso and chocolate and berries. So basically, I'm telling you to have dessert after you have a bunch of meat, which is fabulous. Have dessert and a cup of espresso. And finally, if you're really worried about your meat consumption and getting cancer, maybe just cut down on it a little bit. Like, it can't hurt. And also to eat a lot of fiber, because I do remember reading a lot of studies back in the day saying that the thought was that the connection between colorectal cancer and eating a ton of meat was that maybe these people aren't eating enough fiber to push out the meat quickly, so these compounds are staying in your digestive tract for longer. And whether or not that's true, it doesn't hurt to eat some veggies, which might also help quench free radicals at the same time. So that's pretty much it. That's your takeaway. You don't have to stop eating red meat. You can eat it if you want to. You don't have to eat it if you don't want to. But it's not necessarily going to kill you. There are ways that you can reduce the cancer risk involved in cooking meat and in eating meat. And in general, this is increasing something from 5% to 6% for every 2 ounces of processed meat or every 4 ounces of regular meat per day. So yeah, it adds up if you're eating a pound of meat a day. But in general, if you're pretty healthy, this isn't going to change your life all that much. Now, I've included all of these links in the show notes. So there are links to the World Health Organization, as well as cancer.org, and to that really cool article about what foods to cook with your meat and what to marinate your meat in. I'm pretty excited about that one because I think that's really cool that you can just quench these cancer compounds by marinating a steak or putting a rub on it. It's awesome. So I've linked to all of those in the show notes. And if you have any further questions, I would be happy to answer them. You can contact me at liz@healthygamergirl.com. You can also contact me on any of my social channels, and those are all linked at healthygamergirl.com. So I just want to thank you so much for listening in. I really appreciate all of the comments and questions and reviews and all of that good stuff. So if you wanted to leave me a review on iTunes or Stitcher or a Podbean, that would be super and much appreciated. And I just wanted to tell you all to have a fabulous week. So enjoy.